Matthew chapter 26 this evening. Matthew chapter 26. We're continuing prayer, and we've spent a lot of time on the aspect of prayer of being alone, going into your room, going into your closet, listening, be still and know that I'm God. And I want you to understand, so there's no misunderstanding, okay? We're not looking to hear the voice of God. We're looking for the Spirit of God to speak to us, okay? I have never heard the voice of God. But God has spoken through His Holy Spirit. God's not going to reveal some new book of the Bible to you. He's not going to change His plans or make some revelation about a different way of salvation. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just being alone with God, sharing fellowship together with God, listening for the leading of God, and having a solid prayer life every day. That's the goal of this part of our study. Pray without ceasing. Tonight we look at Jesus in prayer. Chapter 26, verse 36 is where we'll begin reading. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with Me." And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "O My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Once again, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, speak to us tonight through Your Word. Draw all of us to You and move freely among us. Convict of sin, encourage those, Lord, who are discouraged. Father, we commend this service to You. And pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now tonight we're going to talk about actually putting some basic principles in improving our prayer life. Okay? And the first principle I want to give you is the example of Jesus that Jesus set as He prayed in one of the most difficult times of His life. Or the most difficult time in His life and in His ministry. The first thing we see is verse 38. The prayer of Jesus was very passionate. He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with Me." Now that phrase, "exceedingly sorrowful," is one Greek word. It means afflicted beyond measure. Have you ever been afflicted beyond measure? The NIV translates it this way. It says, "My soul is overwhelmed." Jesus was at that point where he just couldn't take any more, even to the point that it was about to kill Him. He actually had all that He could stand. And what I want to point out to you, first of all, is the passion with which Jesus prayed. As Jesus knelt for this time of prayer, there is no doubt His soul, it came out of His soul. As a matter of fact, it mentioned His soul being exceedingly sorrowful. Listen, first thing you have to understand about prayer: if you don't care about it, you won't pray about it. We'll say that again. If you don't care about it, you will not pray about it. Oh, you may pray about it in passing. But the first lesson that we learn today at looking at Jesus is we've got to ask ourselves the question, so that we may have a passionate prayer life, what touches our soul? As a matter of fact, in most services, most churches today, you know, we just let things kind of glaze over. We forget to just stop and to care quite often. So tonight I ask you the question, what touches your soul? Look around. Look around. Okay? I said earlier, you know, I need you. I need this environment. But I'm also reminded as we gather together that there are people here that are dealing with a lot of stuff. There are people here who are no doubt hurting. There are people here who have family needs, children needs. So I want to just first of all take a moment and I want to ask you, what is your soul moving burden at this point in your life? Maybe your children, maybe your marriage, maybe the church, but whatever it is, you've got to find, you know, you've got to find that passion where when you go to God in prayer, you're not just saying, bless us, bless them, amen, but you're pouring your heart out before God. A prayer that lacks passion. You see, God knows your heart. He knows whether you really care or not. And quite honestly, I don't want to bring something before my God that I'm not convinced and convicted and passionate about. You know? He deserves better than that. So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to find that point of passion. Second thing we've got to do is we've got to be specific in our prayer. All right? If you'll notice, Jesus said, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Understand the mindset of Jesus at this point is that He knew His arrest was coming. He knew how this trial was going to turn out. He knew what the crowd was going to shout as they cried, crucify Him, crucify Him. He knew the torture, the whipping, the crown of thorns. He knew everything that was ahead, especially the cross that He'd have to endure. The separation from the Father. He knew it all. And no one in their right mind would say, bring it on, right? Because He knew, He prayed, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other possibility, please let this cup pass from me. Now, it's at this point that we realize how very specific that Jesus was in His request. And how specific we have to be in our request. Okay? What I'm saying is, you've got to aim your prayers. Again, our famous prayers of Lord, save the lost and bless the church. You know what that is? Those are safe prayers. You see, that way, you know, it's a prayer that, well, God must have blessed the church because the church is still here, right? And somebody somewhere in the world is being saved today, surely, right? But when's the last time that you prayed a specific prayer and you knew God specifically answered that prayer? Whether it was a yes or a no, you just knew that God answered your specific prayer. You know, and so the next challenge is get off the safe prayers, right? those prayers that we can't really tell if they're answered or not. And instead of praying, Lord, save the lost, let's name some names. Okay? If you're going to pray for me, don't pray for preachers throughout the world. Pray for Brother Doug. If you're going to pray for the church, be specific. What do you want to happen in the church? You know? You say, well, Brother Doug, I don't really know. Okay, let me give you some insight, right? If you're going to pray for the church, the last 2 years, COVID has been hard on every church that I know. It's been hard on every pastor that I know because he's watched as his church is not what it was 2 years ago. And understand, I get it that there are people who do not need to be exposed. I get that. I understand that, right? But there are a lot of people who are not today in this church. There are a lot of people who don't come not because they don't need to be exposed to COVID or even because they're concerned about COVID. It's because the reason they're not coming is because they got out of the habit. Doesn't that break your heart? So if you want something to pray about, pray for those people who are just kind of gotten out of the habit and spiritual things aren't important anymore because we know they are. Pray for those people who have just cast church to the side. Pray for those people who need to make spiritual decisions. How many of you know some people who need to make spiritual decisions? Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to ask you for their names, okay? I'm going to let you call their name before the throne of God, right? You do that privately, not publicly. We have people in the church who need to make decisions. We have church members who need to grow. And that's my goal, my God-given goal for the year. Is that our membership grow, not so much in numbers, but grow in spirit. We have people who need to teach, but won't. We have people who need to serve, but won't. We have people who need to grow, but won't be faithful enough, whether it's in Sunday school or in worship service, won't be faithful enough to actually feed their faith. I guess you can kind of tell where my passion is, right? And if you're real energetic, here's my challenge. You said, Brother Doug, I don't have a passion for those things. Let me give you something. How many of you have somebody you care about? Would you raise your hands? Amen. This week, I want to ask you to go to that someone that you care about and ask them the question, what can I pray for you about? Okay? What can I pray for you about? There's a certain responsibility when you ask that person that you love, that you really care about. When you ask that question, it sticks with you. And you'll be more faithful in praying, right? But the challenge at this point in the message, in being specific, is get off the bless everyone, amen train. That's not a prayer. That's just kind of a shotgun blast shooting at everything. Take aim. Take aim in your prayer life. Not only was Jesus passionate about what He was asking, not only was He very specific, and Lord, let this cup pass from me, He was very selfless in what He was asking. If you'll notice, He prayed, not my will, but yours be done. Do you notice that? I mean, How many times have we poured out, we've been going through difficulty and we've poured out our heart, Lord, please get me out of this. Lord, help me through this. Lord, I don't want to do this. Lord, just deliver me. Jesus didn't pray that way. Jesus prayed, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He repeated that every time he went back and prayed. Right? Three times in this passage. Actually, twice, and then it says he said the same thing again at the end of this passage, right? So three times he repeated this prayer. And when he said, not my will, yours be done, he emptied himself, or he was emptying himself. And it was not about Jesus anymore. I said this morning, prayer is not something, it is not to get our will done in heaven. It's to get God's will done on earth. Right? And the thing you have to understand about God's will is that sometimes it may be hard. Can you really pray, Lord, your will be done? You understand that's who we are, right? We're not here about our own personal self. We are here to see God's will done on earth. And I truly believe as Jesus prayed this prayer, He knew everything that was coming. He knew every bit of the suffering He was going to have to suffer. But this is the part where He says, but Father, I'm willing. Father, I'm willing. Because he could look through the course of time. And the Father could look through the course of time. And he could see every soul that would come to salvation through the sacrifice that Jesus was about to make. That's why this Father, not thy will, or not my will, but thine be done, is so very important. You see, Jesus didn't just look at himself. I believe he saw Doug Hambrick, Ken Worthen, and everyone here tonight. I believe Jesus could see it. I believe the Father could see it. And I believe that's why he prayed, not my will, thine be done. Now, tonight, can you pray, Lord, not my will, thine be done? You see, there's a lot of trust that goes into that. You got to be able to trust the Father because He's working all things together for good to those that love the Lord, right? And you may have to go through a difficult time, whatever that difficulty is, but you just know God's got it. You may have to go through that difficult time, but you don't know how many souls will be touched by the difficult time that you're going through. You know? Are you sick? By all means, pray for your healing. But pray God's will be done. Because your sickness may expose you to people you would never be normally exposed to. You may have opportunity to tell people about Jesus you never had opportunity before. You see, God got the big picture. That's the wonderful part. The Father has the big picture. And as I said, nobody wants to go through hard times. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to endure pain. I get that. I'm no different than anybody else. I like it easy. But I know that sometimes being a child of God is not always easy. And I know that this life is not about me. It's about the glory of the Father. And so, you know, I'm guilty of praying very selfishly sometimes. Lord, this is what I want. This is, please do this for me. And please don't misunderstand me. It's okay. And I believe God expects us to share our heart, to share our desires. But I also believe it's vitally important that we understand this life is not about us. Right? It's about the glory of God and the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. So, challenge. Number one, be passionate in your prayer life. Right? Look around you, and I'll tell you, God's going to give you passions for certain things that He doesn't give me. And He'll give me passions for certain things He might not give you. But you look for that. There's plenty of things to pray about. Second thing, be specific. Quit praying those generic prayers. Lord bless us. And then finally, make your prayer selfless. Because this life's not about you. Be able to ask, Lord, Your will be done. Whatever it takes, Lord, Your will be done. Good times and bad, Lord, Your will be done. You know, and you may think, well, that's dangerous. I don't believe it is. I don't believe it is dangerous. And the reason I don't believe it's dangerous is because God loves you. Right? I know how I feel about my children. And my love pales for my children in comparison to the love that God has for His children. He's not going to set up in heaven and say, boy, watch this. I'm going to make them miserable. He's not going to do that. Why? Because you are important to Him. He said, he said, a bird doesn't fall to the ground without His knowledge, and you're more important than a bird. You are so important that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave Jesus so that you could have eternal life. Now, does that sound like a father that wants to ruin your life? Absolutely not. You can trust God to pray, Lord, not my will, thine be done. Trust Him. Tonight I want to end the service in a very special way. All right? We're going to have several opportunities throughout this year, or throughout this next few weeks. No, it's right the first time. Throughout this year, we're going to have several opportunities to pray. And that's how I want to close the service tonight. It's prayer service. All right? You can sit right where you are. You can come to the altar. You can do whatever you want to do. Right? But let's spend some time in prayer. There will be no organized dismissal prayer tonight. Right? Nobody's going to be called on to say that dismissal prayer. I want to encourage you, let's just take time. Take time and pray. Pray with passion. Pray with conviction. And when you're finished praying, it may be 5 minutes, it may be 25 minutes, but I'll tell you this, I'm here as long as you are, right? Let's take time and just pray. And when you finish praying, then quietly get up and walk out the door, okay? And I promise, nobody's going to turn the lights out on you. You take all the time that you need. And you lift our church before God. Lift those loved ones before God. Lift those lost people that you know before God. Spend time with the Master because He can change things. All right? All right. Now we're gonna take that time to pray. I know it's very different from what we usually do. If you want to come to the altar, come on. If you want to sit where you are, sit where you are. But spend some time. Spend some time petitioning God. All right? All right. God bless you.